Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome back to Chicago Bears Roundtable, the 2016 version, our kickoff show, I guess you might say, here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. I'm Jeff Joniak with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, Mr. Tom Thayer, and the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com, Larry May. We'll try and not pick on each other today because we got a very special guest. Head coach John Fox smiling from ear to ear. Off-season's been good. It's flying by. Hope you got a little time off for yourself, too. But when this all started, John, I kind of thought you were going to be putting your recruiting hat on, and you did, didn't you?
Well, no doubt. We have to improve, and I think that's well documented. And this was a time free agency to collect, new talent. I think Ryan and his staff have done an outstanding job. And, the coaches and personnel people work around the clock, and it's a very competitive portion of time.
There's always a thing I say, fellas, knowledge is power, and you had knowledge on several of these guys, and you do talk to people around the league, but nobody can know more about Danny Trevathan than the man who drafted him. And this kid I met at the Super Bowl, and he seemed to me, kind of forecasting the future a little bit like a John Fox guy. He's a John Fox guy mentally and certainly in any place.
Well, yeah, we identified him coming out of the University of Kentucky a few years back, and I believe he was a sixth-round pick that, we liked a lot of his intangibles, his measurables. He came in as a young player like all of them and worked very, very hard to master our defense and, found his niche. And he's a very, very good three-down player in that he doesn't have to come off the field on third down as a dime linebacker. In fact, he had an interception in Soldier Field when we played the Broncos this year. So he's got, good ball skills. He's got good instincts. And he brings a swagger and an enthusiasm to the field that we need.
I always look at guys that come around now to think about guys in my era, who would they remind me of? And Trevathan, I think, is Sam Mills. Sam Mills, an undersized linebacker, probably one of the best linebackers I've ever played against. So I think there's too much being said about size, because for linebackers, it's how you see the field and how you react to your offense. And I think that's the most unique thing about Trevathan, is how well he runs on the field from the tight end responsibilities to approaching the line of scrimmage.
Well, I think, Tom, the game's really evolved. The days of the 260-pound inside linebacker in a 3-4 or the Mike linebacker in a 4-3 are far gone, because of the speed of the game. I think the game's really evolved that way, and that really most of the game is played in substitution type of defenses because people are playing multiple wideout sets. So you need smaller, faster people to match up on those smaller, faster offensive players that are on the field. And Danny has that. Even I know we'll get to eventually, Jarrell Freeman has that. The game has gotten faster, maybe a little bit smaller with that because of the athleticism.
Another great thing about Danny is he's still young, and that's the case with a lot of the Bears free agents. How important was it to get guys that are in the prime of their careers?
I think it's critical. I think, it's a young man's game. And I think, when we took over, we were the oldest roster in football. Now we're one of the top three youngest. And so a lot of changes
that didn't take
place. You prefer it not be that way because it takes longer. And, you build through the draft and you try to eventually build to where you're not involved as much in free agency because you raise your own and you pay your own.
Oh, that's wheelhouse ages, man. We talk about all the time, Tom, 25, 26, 27 in free agency. And given the length of these, they can still get another bite at the apple too.
Right.
And that is motivation to them. I think you get a player that is uniquely committed in that regard.
No doubt. I think, it's, even when you used to recruit in college, what you do over these next 4 years is going to determine what you do for the next 40. And pretty much the same thing when you come in as a rookie in this league. You got 4 years to basically make a name for yourself. Five if you're a first-round pick. But everybody else, it's 4 years. And building that name, get a chance to get a bite of that apple is how you perform. And so, you get them in that second round, the next phase of their professional career in football is even better. They're more experienced and obviously worth more.
It's something, this 20-something group of free agents you brought in. You look at the successes they've already had in their small experiences in the NFL, and I think that helps them mature faster, but understands what it takes to be a champion in order, to win it all. And when you see the experiences that this 20-something group have, every one of them is going to be a better football player and a better teammate because of it.
Yeah, I think, anytime you look at, the starting product, and I think, being around a winning culture, experiencing and seeing how it's done every day, to be in that culture, That type of work ethic and that type of approach, professional approach, I think is critical. You know, I liken it to, graduation rates. You know, Harvard and Yale might have a better graduation rate than, say, San Diego State, which is where I attend.
Oh, you always bring that up.
And it's really because, you know, you start with a better product. You're more selective. And then when guys are kind of more trained and, you know, have those experiences, it makes them better moving forward.
Where is Freeman and Hicks in your mind in terms of where they fit on this team?
Well, again, most of them are people that we know. One of the things about you know, building through the draft and signing your own, you've raised and you know them in your culture. It's kind of important to know, whether it's Danny, I had a great familiarity, Champ Kelly, one of our personnel people. You go to Akeem Hicks, you know, you've got Ryan's got a great background with him, along with some of our personnel people. Freeman, I think I had a really close friend that coached there. Plus, we worked against them. I watched him in person work, 3 days of practice versus the Colts this summer. I think so that familiarity of the guy. You can look at tape, but they might as well all be robots when you're looking at video. You know, when you get to know the person and the kind of work ethic they have and, what's inside of them as a guy, I think is beneficial.
We had the opportunity to interview Hicks the other day on Bears All Access. I was impressed with his voice, how intelligently he spoke, mm-hmm. how he could immediately draw the factors in his life that have allowed him to have the success, even though his path is in common to a lot of guys that we know throughout the NFL. And I think that's as impressive when you can have a quality conversation because you know the guy carries himself so well in his preparation to be a pro.
Yeah, I think, like with he and Jarrell both, Jarrell played 3 years in the Canadian Football League with Saskatchewan, and, he carries a chip, and this is a blue-collar job, and and that chip on your shoulder goes a long ways because it's hard. I mean, I tell guys all the time, you'd play games for free. They pay you to practice and prepare. That's the hard stuff. And, everybody sees the glamour of Sundays, but there's a lot of work that goes into that, whether it's the offseason, training camp, or even in-season practices. And both those guys, Akeem, because he took a different path. He was a very highly sought out after a college recruit. Ended up going to JC and then, having to go to a very small college.
I admire guys that have that perseverance, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It says a lot about you. Look at Zach Miller. His agent even gave up on his career, his last agent. And he just kept working at it, and then had it arguably his best year of his career a year ago.
Yeah, Larry, I'm sure you got some email and fans concerned about when a named player leaves your organization, but with Martellus Bennett being moved, there is addition by subtraction here too, and you mentioned Zach Miller, and did you get a lot of email?
Yeah, we received some.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the fans, though, understood the move, and I didn't really get many wondering why it was made, actually.
Well, I think, again, these are two-sided. I mean, yeah. Traded Jared Allen. I mean, it worked out good for us because we'll get a young player in this year's draft, and it worked very good for Jared. I mean, I think, some of these things look villainous, when you do them, but you are trying to improve your roster, and there's a lot of things that go into decisions that we don't share publicly with everybody, but, Martellus had a good career here. I mean, we wished him nothing but the best as far as luck moving forward. He'll fit in that situation. He'll make it what he wants to, but, it allowed us to lean on some guys, that we feel good about. We signed Zach Miller, Hausler. We like some young guys and to develop them moving forward.
Well, that's a good thing about it is you didn't leave the cupboard bare because you have Kari Lee, you have Hausler,
right.
And you have the versatility of a guy like Zach Miller. So it's not like you're trying to replace something with nothing. You already have pieces in place to make sure that position is solid.
The same discussion happened with Matt Forte. We love Matt Forte. Matt Forte was a great Bear. The organization loves him. But sometimes you have to do what you think's best. And, time will tell. But, Matt signed with another team. The Jets are going to be fortunate to have him. But part of that decision was made because we have such confidence in the backs we have.
Right.
I like Zach Miller. Obviously, he led the Bears in touchdown receptions with mm-hmm. 5 last year. But the thing not a lot of people are talking about is you get a 4th-round draft pick out of it. Everybody talks about building through the draft, and I think this can only help. I looked it up. Since free agency started in 1993, Bears have had 19 guys drafted make the Pro Bowl, and 6 free agents they've signed make the Pro Bowl. So obviously you want to build through the draft.
No doubt. I mean, if you did that league-wide, Larry, it'd be even bigger percentages. So You know, again, it's you want to get in a rotation of those 4 years where you have players that can perform at a high level and not as expensive, because then you can just plug in and continue that. So you're either paying your own free agents or you're letting them go and plugging in young backups that you think can, you know, make the next transition. So ideally, that's where you want to get to, and we're not there yet.
And you love those late round undrafted guys because,
right.
A, they're hungry, right? And just, again, going back to the Super Bowl and seeing Brandon Marshall and talking to him and talking to Danny Trevathan and some of the other Chris Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, you've done the same thing here. Practice matters. If you practice on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the walk-through on Saturday like it's Sunday, you will get to Sunday somehow, some way. And those guys repeated all of that during that week when I was able to visit with them. So players like this are used as an example, I would imagine, when you do get on draft day and when you hit that free agent market, you know, after the draft.
Well, I think, you know, it's really raising the bar, what the expectation level is. And, you know, you're in it for championships, and, you know, there's different levels of champions. I call it three sets of hats. You win your division, you win the conference, and then you win, you know, the Super Bowl. So, and you get hats for all those, you know, typically in organizations. And guys understand that it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't fall from the sky. I mean, there's a process and a way to approach it. And the more guys you can get, you know, that understand that culture and that expectation and that bar, obviously the better chance you got to get in there.
All right, let's wrap it up with the offensive line. Bobby Sassy comes aboard, and Kyle Long moves back inside.
But I think Kyle Long gives you the luxury because he is such a versatile offensive lineman that when you have a chance to come in and get a Bobby Massey who's got 33 starts at right tackle, it's going to make Kyle Long a better player on the inside because you have the experience at offensive tackle, and it's going to help your tight end position. So that was really interesting sign for the offensive line and Coach Dave Magazoo because of now with Slauson's ability to move inside, outside, the development of Charles Leno Jr., the ability of Kyle Long that I still think is an untapped potential with him, and Bobby Massey with great experience. That has to upgrade the versatility of your offensive line and the ability to really become a strength of the offense.
Yeah, I think, Tom, I mean, we needed to improve. We needed to improve in a lot of areas. And the same will be true when we embark on the next talent pool, and that's the draft. We needed to get better there. And whether, you know, we looked at guard, we looked at tackle, and however it fell. Again, there's a financial aspect to this, and there's a budget you have to balance. The way it fell, it went with Bobby Massey. And so he'll be at tackle, gives us the flexibility to start, Kyle back in at guard. But where it all unfolds is just trying to build competition. And all honesty, I don't know how it'll end up. It'll be how they perform, how they prepare, and where we'll be, you know, when we get to September.
Running back by committee is something you've always been fond of. You envision that being the case?
Yeah, I think, even if, Matt Forte, he'd been kind of the workhorse here. And then, getting him used to that, I think he left here knowing that it's pretty good. It's pretty good to prolong your career. It's pretty good to take, some of that wear and tear off. And, I think most people anymore, we started this way back in 2000, 2002, having that two-headed monster and working that. And I think it helps the players, and it obviously helps your football team.
So, Bears are better. Bears are better right now, right? You go into thinking that way. Once free agency, everybody thinks they won the Super Bowl, right? But that's a little bit of fantasy football. But the thing is, you wanted to get faster, a little tougher,
smarter.
Do you think you've accomplished that at this phase so far?
Yeah, I think we can. I think what I would remind fans, and so does everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have the same market we do. I think Ryan did a great job in that we have more free agency money to spend. I think we've acquired draft picks. We've got 9 picks this year versus 6 a year ago. A taller order. I mean, we switched out of 6 to get a 4th. So now we have 2 4ths. So, hopefully if we do a good job like our guys did a year ago, I thought we brought in some good young players a year ago that contributed, and we just need to continue that process through the draft.
That's going to wrap us up for our inaugural 2016 Bears Roundtable. Thank you so much for your time, Big John.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For John Fox, Tom Thayer, Larry Mayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks, everybody, for watching here on ChicagoBears.com.